After Pope Benedict participated in the Divine Liturgy with Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, I had the opportunity to speak to Father John Chrysarchvis, the Orthodox priest who had helped us with the commentaries for the two occasions when, through the Pope and the Patriarch, the Catholic and Orthodox churches have been united in a special way during this past week.
My name is Father John Chrysarchvis, and I'm an ordained deacon of the Orthodox Church. I am originally from Australia. I live in the United States, where I've been teaching theology at a theological school in Boston. More recently, I've been working directly for the Ecumenical Patriarch, serving as his theological advisor on environmental issues.
Now, you've been taking a very active role in the meeting of the Pope and the Ecumenical Patriarch in the last couple of days. Would you like to say something about that?
I think that it has always been something inspiring for me to see church leaders looking outside of their own tradition and not just within their own churches. And traditionally, the Orthodox Church has assumed a pioneering role, really, in terms of relating to other Christian churches, relating to other faiths. The Orthodox Church was always at the forefront of ecumenical relations, from the outset involved in the creation of the World Council of Churches, involved in issues such as environment and social justice, which it tries to look at from its own particular theological and spiritual perspective. But the relationship between the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church is one that is particularly close to the heart of the leaders of the Orthodox churches and the faithful themselves, because these two churches have a shared legacy, and they have a patrimony that goes back 2,000 years. For 1,000 years, the first 1,000 years of the church's existence, the Church of the East in Constantinople and the Church of the West in Rome were one. They shared the same teachings, the same doctrine, they shared the same liturgy, they shared the same traditions. It was only gradually towards the end of the first millennium and then more abruptly in 1054 that the relations were cut off between the two churches. And so I think also to adopt an image that Patriarch Athenagoras, the ecumenical patriarch that died in 1972, the great ecumenical visionary of relations between the Orthodox and the Catholics, to adopt his image, the two churches are like two lungs that breathe together. One of them can breathe alone, but it is not functioning fully, and it is in fact impacting both on itself and on the other lung if it's not working together.
We're having a discussion about the meeting of the Pope and the Patriarch, and they seemed to be very much at ease with each other, and they were both going out of their way to show respect for each other. That was what we felt anyway.
No, you're right, sister. I think that the two churches refer to each other with the phrase sister churches. And it's not just something that's a conventional way of speaking. It's a deeply historical and theological phrase that describes their relationship. It's a phrase that dates back to the early apostolic churches that understood and related to one another on the basis of identity as sister churches. Then they were united, of course, in faith, completely united. But when this phrase was revived, it was briefly revived, I think, in the 13th century once by the Pope at the time, but then it was brought to life again in the initiatives taken between Ecumenical Patriarch Athenagoras and Pope Paul VI that talked to one another, referring to one another's churches as sister churches, which You know, neither the Orthodox nor the Roman Catholic would refer to their relationship with any other Christian denomination with that phrase.
Absolutely. And that struck me when they were praying together in the evening, because you had His Holiness with the members of the Synod on one side, and on the other side you had His All Holiness with the cardinals and bishops there. So there was a beautiful mix.
It was deliberately organized in that way. Look, these are simple gestures. There's no question about the fact that someone thought of this, that it was important for the members of the Holy Synod in the Orthodox Church of the Ecumenical Patriarchate to stand beside the Pope and the cardinals to stand beside the Patriarch. That is a deliberate organizational gesture. But it's more than that. It's also symbolical of the effort that it takes to continually renew our commitment toward reconciliation and restoration of full union between our two churches. And it takes little steps like that sometimes to remember how committed we are. It took little steps to divide the two churches over centuries. And 1054 was really the culmination of a number of steps, not all of which were theological. In fact, in some ways, the theological basis of the division was the most essential one, but it wasn't the predominant one. It wasn't the loudest one. There were political differences. There were cultural differences. There were linguistic differences. Well, it takes the same number of slow, deliberate steps to bring the two churches together again. And that was one tangible way of trying to bring that, you know, to life.
And you could see when they got together at the end of the service, they were really pleased to see each other. The greetings were very, very genuine.
That's very true. You could see it in the Pope's eyes. There was a sense of joy hearing his name, Benedict, hearing the hymn that was composed in his honour on Mount Athos just a few months ago in preparation of this visit, the hymn to Saint Benedict, his own patron saint, hearing another hymn that was composed deliberately for this occasion by monks on the Holy Mountain, speaking about the meeting of the two primates in the city, the historical city of Constantinople. And you could see that the Pope was very much a part of what was happening. Look, if we're going to use the image of two lungs breathing in one and the same living organism, what was happening between Patriarch Bartholomew and Pope Benedict was a natural, spontaneous response of two brothers, would be the theological, ecclesiastical term, two friends who maybe don't see each other as often as they should, but they have the same family roots. And we ought, if we can't yet be united fully in the Eucharist, we can at least do two things. We can first of all be united in repentance over wrongs of the past. When Pope John Paul II officially apologized for the events of the Fourth Crusade, for instance. That's not just word. That's a very powerful way of saying there were things that we have done as churches to one another, against one another, that are simply unacceptable for people who claim to be the disciples of the God of love. And we ought not to repeat that. We ought to forget that kind of lifestyle, and we ought to forgive one another for what has happened. That's one thing we can be united in. And a second thing, a second level on which we can be united as churches today, even before any full Eucharistic communion, was brought up by the Pope today in his homily after the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, where he said, and quite rightly, that we can work together in a divided world to address issues of common concern, and we can deal together with to confront and overcome issues of poverty, to overcome issues of social justice, and to look at problems that we face together as human beings in the world. There the Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church can certainly provide and work on a united forum?
Because we believe in the Word that was made flesh.
And that's the basis of our truth. That's the basis of our faith. It's the Word that was made flesh, lived among us, and the Word that commanded us to be one. Lord,